My name is Tony Miano. I come from Southern California, and I am not used to this weather. I attend Faith Community Church in Santa Clarita, and I'm here with the prayerful support of my pastors and my elders. I'm here with my friend Sean and my friend Ken. We're here to bring to you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very important that you understand, with Jesus we represent. There are many different Jesuses in the world today. Some say that Jesus is merely the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. That's not true. Some say that Jesus is a created being and the spirit brother of Satan. That's not true. Some would declare that Jesus is nothing more than a good prophet, that he was just a man. That is not true. Some people, like Oprah Winfrey and others, would assert that Jesus is just one of many different ways to heaven. That is also not true. We're here to represent to you the true Jesus, not one that we have fashioned in our imagination to suit ourselves, not a Jesus that we're comfortable with, but the Jesus who has revealed himself in creation, who has revealed himself through the testimony of his own word, and ultimately, who has revealed himself in your heart. You know that he exists. He has given you a conscience. He is fully God, he is fully man, and he is without sin. He was with the Father in creation, and all things were created by him and through him and for him. That is the Jesus we represent to you. There is only one that is true. There is only one Jesus who is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. I'd like to begin by reading from the Word of God in the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning in verse 22. God's word tells us this. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I pass along and observe the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, we will hear you again about this. So Paul went out from their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. The word of the Lord. My friends, when Paul was in Greece, when he was in Athens, he perceived that the Greek people were very religious. And while I've only been on this campus a couple of times, I also perceive that there are many religious people on this campus. I have met Christians, I have met Mormons, I have met Jehovah's Witnesses, I had a very interesting conversation with a Muslim named Muhammad, and I have met very religious people who ascribe to the religion known as atheism. Atheism is no different than Hinduism or Buddhism or Catholicism. It is an ism. And the god of atheism is the god of self. But really, my friends, there are no atheists. There is no one who does not believe in God. Every human being knows that God exists. But they merely suppress that truth by their unrighteousness. And so they create an ism known as atheism and worship at the throne of the god of self. In order to deny the existence of God, you must actually check your intellectualism at the door. You actually have to stop thinking rightly to ascribe to atheism. And that's why the Word of God says, only the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. So there are many, many people who are religious on this campus. Paul says, for as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. Everybody worships, my friend. Everybody worships. Everybody ascribes to something or something to which they give their attention. Some people worship sports. Some people worship an education. Some people worship other people. But most people worship themselves. They see themselves, even though they are a speck of dust on a planet that is a speck of dust, in a solar system that is a speck of dust, in a galaxy that is a speck of dust, in a universe that is infinite. Yet man, individual people, see themselves as the center of the universe, as if all of creation revolves around them. Now maybe you are not an idolater in the sense that you've never cut down a tree or hewn a stone or fashioned something out of metal to bow down and worship it. Although there are millions of people around the world who do just that. But here in the West, here where we see ourselves as part of the first world, as part of the intellectual elite, there is actually a more common form of idolatry. And it's idolatry of the mind. It's when you fashion a god in your imagination to suit yourself. A god that will applaud your sin. A god that will turn a blind eye to your sin. A god who you would say is all loving, but is not just. A god that you would say would not send anybody to hell. And if that is the kind of god you worship, I must agree with you. Your God will not send anybody to hell because your God does not exist outside of your imagination. And the same imaginary God that you idolize cannot save you either for the same reason. He does not exist outside of the confines of your fallible and sinful mind. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Religions all over the world, including the Christian religion, build edifices, build houses of worship, and they assume that they have built a house for God. They call it a temple, they call it a mosque, they call it a cathedral, and they think that they can confine God to that place. Why are you laughing, man? Do you disagree? Why are you laughing?
Your body's a temple. That's how you choose to live it.
It doesn't say how you choose to live it, man. The Bible nowhere says that the body is your temple and you can live however you want to live. That is not true. Not true at all. And religious people think that somehow God needs them. That somehow God needs their help. Needs their assistance. But the Word of God makes it clear that God needs nothing. Unfortunately, in the American church today, many well-intentioned pastors and teachers have lied to you. They've told you to accept Jesus. They've told you to ask Jesus into your heart. But my friends, Jesus doesn't need you. You need Him. God needs nothing from you. You need everything from Him. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet He is actually not far from us. The person who might ascribe to deism, who might agree that there is a Creator, but that He is indifferent, that He is uninvolved, that He just left the universe to spin out of control, is not believing in the God of the Bible, is not believing in the God who created them. God is sovereign. God is king. God alone rules. We are not autonomous creatures. We do not determine our own destiny. We are not the captains of our own ships. We live and we breathe and we die at the good pleasure of God Almighty, the King. Many people actually believe that God does not see what they do or hear what they say. But there are no secrets from God. God is omniscient. He knows everything. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. There is nothing that is hidden from the view of Almighty God. When you stand before God to give an account for your life, and each and every one of us will, it is appointed once for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. God is going to judge you based on the perfect standard of His law.
And that law is already written on your heart. You don't need me to tell you that it's wrong to worship false gods. You know that. And you suppress that truth by your unrighteousness. You don't need me to tell you that you know it is a sin against God to create idols, to worship them. You merely suppress that truth by your unrighteousness. And isn't it interesting that the atheist who foolishly declares there is no God blasphemes the God they declare does not exist by taking his name in vain? Why is that? Again, there are no atheists. There are only people who sinfully suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. My friends, when you die and stand before God to give an account for your life, you need to understand it is not a court date. The day of judgment is not a trial date. It is a day of sentencing. For apart from faith in Jesus Christ, you have already been found guilty before Almighty God. That day of judgment will not be a day where you wag a finger at God and argue your case. That will not be a day where you call witnesses to testify about what a good person you were. It is a day of sentencing. And many people foolishly believe that as a convicted criminal, they will demand that the God of the universe steps down from his holy bench to be judged by the criminal. Can you imagine going into a superior court in Boise, having been found guilty of breaking the law, and saying, "Yes, Your Honor, I'm guilty. Now you step down. I'm going to put you on trial." You think anyone would actually do that? Or if they tried, would get away with it? Of course not. Nor will anyone stand before God and try to put him on trial. And because God is good, because God is not capricious, because God cannot be bribed and will not be mocked, because he is holy and righteous and just, he must punish sin. He must punish the guilty. And the punishment that God has ascribed for sin, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, is utterly irrelevant. The punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. And I share that with you, not because I want you to go there. I share that with you because I hope and I pray that none of you will ever experience his wrath. But apart from Christ, you are dead in your sins. And you are spiritually blind. You are walking toward a 500-foot cliff, having no idea you're walking in that direction. And so by sharing about the law and the wrath of God and the justice of God, I am grabbing you by the arm as a blind person that you are. And I am compelling you to turn around, to not keep walking in the same direction, because you will face certain death. And if someone claims to be a Christian and they will not tell you these things, it is because they do not care about you. It is because they do not care. And that same God who is holy and righteous and just, that same God who is angry with the wicked every day, that same God whose wrath abides upon the ungodly, is the same God, because there is only one, is the same God who is also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. Being then God's offspring, the Apostle Paul said, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. There is only one God who is alive, and that is the God who forever defeated sin and death. My friends, Mohammed cannot help you. Mohammed is dead. Buddha cannot help you. Buddha is dead. The millions of false gods of Hinduism cannot help you, because they are merely inanimate objects created by man. The false god created in the imagination of a confused teenage boy named Joseph Smith cannot help you, because he doesn't exist. The same kind of like with the young man Charles Taze Russell, who invented a god in his imagination, the student self, cannot help you, because he doesn't exist. The only God who can help you is the only God who is alive, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man, and without sin. He was, and he is, and always will be, the precious Lamb of God, the Son of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived the perfect life that we cannot live. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, he voluntarily went to the cross. Yes, make no mistake, the Jewish people screamed, "Crucify him." Make no mistake, the Roman government carried out the execution. But they were all merely instruments in the hands of another. For it pleased God the Father to crush God the Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He went to the cross. He shed his innocent blood in order to take upon himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. He is alive today, and he will return at a time of the Father's choosing. But when he returns, my friend, he will not return as a meek and mild and humble lamb. He will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to judge both the living and the dead. And the blood of his enemies will drench the hem of his robe. I do not want you to be found on the side of his justice that day. I want you to be found on the side of his mercy and his love and his grace. And God has commanded all people everywhere, you and me, young man, to repent to turn from our sins. And by faith, and by faith alone.
So worth listening to?
Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You cannot be saved by your religion. Religion only enslaves you. Young man, you're shaking your head. Do you disagree? Do you disagree? Stand by the strength of your conviction. Have some courage. Religion cannot help you. Going to church on Sunday and living like hell Monday through Saturday is hypocrisy. Going to mass, going to mosque, going to temple, going to church makes you no more right with God than going to Chick-fil-A makes you a chicken sandwich. I love Chick-fil-A. But many people will stand before God one day and say, Lord, Lord, look at all I did for you. I'm ready to go to heaven. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Young lady, you won't be shaking your head when you stand before God. Your ignorance will not be an excuse. In fact, the Word of God says that you are already without excuse. Because God has written the reality of his existence on your heart. And my friends, if you do not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ as a message of love, it is because you love yourself more than you love God. It is because you love your sin more than you love God. And on some delusional level, whether consciously or subconsciously, you actually believe you are God. And none of that is true. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My hope for you is that when you bow your knee before him, he welcomes you into his joy. He welcomes you into his kingdom. Not because you deserve it, not because you earned it, not because you're good, but because of the goodness and mercy and grace of God. My friends, it is not on the basis of any deeds you have done in righteousness, but based entirely on God's mercy that God can forgive and will forgive your sins.